Gettysburg Seminary presents the Seminary Explores podcast. Conversations on faith, art, people, politics, theology, life, and more. With voices from around the corner and around the globe.
Should the churches of America take the leadership in reconciling with gays and lesbians? Welcome to our guest today who's going to help us answer that question. She is Shirley Armstrong, a psychological counselor and a peer education advisor at Gettysburg College. We'll have to have you back, Shirley. I want to talk about that, too, peer education. About to retire from these positions after a long career at Gettysburg College. And she's on, in fact, she is one of the co-chairs of a task force in her local congregation for RIC. What's RIC?
It's Reconciling in Christ Church. It's an organization that
tries to get people to adopt this position, I imagine, of
yes.
RIC.
Yes, and in order to become what's called a Reconciling in Christ Church.
Oh, I see. Okay.
The only requirement is that that particular church makes an overt welcoming statement to the lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, queer community, otherwise known as LGBTQ community.
I'm impressed.
Yeah.
Into all
yeah.
those.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, try that.
I won't. I'm not going to repeat that. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Well, it's funny that you say that because sometimes the initials and the people that aren't familiar with the community are confused by a lot of the mm-hmm. of the language and the terminology, and that's one of the things that we'll get to later that mm-hmm. we need to educate about.
Would the congregation then place, say, a logo or a one-line statement or something on their church bulletin or in their newsletters or out on
yes.
their marquee saying they are RIC?
Yes. Yes, they would. And more significantly than that, there's a roster that you can look up on the internet of all of the Reconciling in Christ churches in America. Actually the chapel here at the seminary is Reconciling, and the chapel at Gettysburg College is, and there is a Reconciling in Christ Church in Harrisburg.
There are so few that you can number them even now.
Yes.
I thought there might be more, but these are not necessarily
area.
Ones. Yeah.
Yeah,
these are not necessarily ones that are engaged in the process, but have actually completed the process.
Yes.
You can count them on one hand in this area right now.
Yes, which is there's many reasons why this is important, but that's one to me. But a member of this community moving into an area will. They know about this. The LGBTQ community, Christian community, is very aware of this Reconciling in Christ Church roster, and they will look up, where are the welcoming churches in this community
yeah.
that I know I can go to and be welcome.
Mm-hmm. It's a national movement, and is it interdenominational? You mentioned local. The people listening outside of this area, would they know of it or could know of it?
Yes, absolutely. It's national and international actually.
Okay.
The interesting thing is, the reason this is just so necessary, I think, is that there's such a variety of views on the issue of sexual orientation and gender identity within the Christian church today. I mean, some denominations condemn homosexuality as sinful. Some congregations are kind of divided on the issue, and some see homosexuality as absolutely morally acceptable. And then some churches are divided within themselves about, obviously most congregations aren't all on the same page about this issue.
Mm-mm.
So It's understandable then that members of this community who have been vilified by the Christian Church in the past, and in some cases still are, want to know for sure mm-hmm. whether, if they're going to step into the doors of a particular church, mm-hmm. where that church stands.
Mm-hmm. Well, let me ask some of what I would consider the tough questions that you normally hear about gays, lesbians, and others who do not feel welcome in the church because these churches, as you say, are divided. And the one is, even for those of us who might be sympathetic, why do we pick out, not pick on, but pick out gays alone, gays and lesbians? We haven't done this, have we, for Hispanics, African Americans, and other specialized groups? Why a particular statement about a particular group of people?
Well, I think it has to do with what we have been talking about. The history of the Christian Church and homosexuality and transgender folks is not so great, and there are a lot of homosexual people who have been very much hurt by the very churches that they have grown up in. People, you know, coming to terms with the fact that they're gay, lesbian, transgender, as they're growing up in a church, aren't always sure they're even going to be welcome in their own church.
Right.
So that's why if you have to look at this from their point of view, not from your own point of view, because it's really easy to say, well, we welcome everybody. Why do we need to single them out? That doesn't make any sense.
Right. Yeah.
When you're looking at it from your point of view. Mm-hmm. But when you're looking at it from that community's point of view, they don't know that.
Right.
And they, if anything, might presume the opposite. And rightfully so in some cases.
Yeah. The other question is getting even deeper, and we don't need to dwell on this, but I'm sure there are segments of the American population, especially in the church population, that say, if you do come to the church, if you're gay and lesbian, we expect you to change your attitude because we believe there's a cure.
Mm-hmm.
That is to say, it's mm-hmm. That's not a norm, but it's an abnormal situation which can be fixed.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And there were there have been many therapists who have attempted this with clients who absolutely wanted to change because of the
mm-hmm.
social norms
yeah.
that they were
yeah.
living in.
Sure.
This has all been clearly proven to be impossible to do.
Even detrimental, I understand. From
absolutely.
To the
yes.
person who goes through it.
Absolutely. And it's not happening as much anymore, I don't think. There's also sort of this theory, this sort of stance that, well, you know, you can be homosexual, but you just can't act on that.
Yeah.
That
was a kind of an intermediate position
yeah.
by some
yeah, yeah,
major
yeah.
denominations.
Yes.
Don't ask, don't tell.
Yes.
If you are, then just keep it to yourself. Don't practice.
And this is just not an issue that you can compromise on.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think.
Yeah.
It's...
Well, if you make the assumption that this is part of human nature,
yes.
then this is your position, I'm trying to repeat it, then you don't say... well, you're white, you can turn black. You're black, you can turn right. We can cure that.
Right.
But the fundamental is people
right.
recognizing that it is on the spectrum
yes.
of human nature.
Yes.
And even throughout history, as far as we can tell,
yes.
a certain percent of the population go both ways. Or?
Yes, some absolutely go
so
both ways. And some, there's a continuum.
A continuum.
And there's the really also interesting thing that came up in my life or not my family's life is there's also multiple gender identities, which I think is a slightly newer
uh-huh.
idea, although it's not new in terms of if you examine this in history, it's mm-hmm. been around forever, but the idea of looking at gender on a continuum as opposed to just males and females,
right.
that's relatively new as
mm-hmm.
well.
Yeah.
And that's where we need to get on board and learn about this, because
yeah,
that's
yeah.
what's...
Things are changing in the way that even the science,
yes.
And as a psychologist, you would know that literature, but
yes.
but we've had new ways of approaching, especially not just to say it's A or B.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking to Shirley Armstrong about reconciling in Christ, R-I-C, with the question, should the churches lead in reconciling with gays, lesbians, and others of that persuasion, form of life? Or should they oppose it or take a back seat? Shirley is a psychological counselor and a peer education advisor about to retire from Gettysburg College in beautiful Gettysburg, Pennsylvania. I've learned one thing in recent times personally, Shirley, and that is that it's not the purpose of reconciling Christ to demand an immediate vote in a congregation, to go up against the wall and, I use all the mixed metaphors, lay down the gauntlet and, and force a vote on this.
Right.
Rather, the more important thing may be the process of dialogue, so that you not only have a statement on the part of the church about being welcome to gays and lesbians, but you have helped people work through this issue
Absolutely.
In a contemporary setting.
Well, and Jerry, that's just so, like, so important what you just said, and it's what I've learned through this process, because initially I was kind of like, come on, this is kind of obvious, let's get on with this and just let's get a vote and get mm-hmm. past it. And I've in this process learned to that that's not at all really helpful, and that the main goal now for the people on the task force that are working on this is to not divide our church. We want the church to take their time and to listen to people who are members of this community, and listen to the stories of people who have grown up in the church or and have been hurt by the church and who want to full membership. And this listening process and this education process is going to take a long time, and it's opening, as you say, dialogue between members who have real different ideas about this. And some of those conversations that I've had, and I know members of the task force have had, have just been so enlightening, and I feel that it's been a wonderful experience, because I feel so much closer to people who I would have thought maybe would have been irritating to me because they didn't feel the way I felt. But it hasn't been like that at all. It's actually been, there's been this very sense that we've all realized that we're all sinners and Jesus is in the middle of this process, and we need to listen to each other, and, you know, however we feel about this issue, we all can agree that everyone, we're all sinners and we're all welcome at the table.
Right.
So
yes.
whether or not we view homosexuality as a sin or not, there seems to be a general consensus that yes, everyone is welcome at the table.
And I'm with you on this one. It's not that you say you're white and you're female, that's a sin, and we can overcome that. That's not a sin. That's who we are. And
right.
to be gay is
right.
not necessarily, well, in your view, is not necessarily sin.
Right.
But the common denominator of all humanity is still, this is very old-fashioned, Shirley, we're now dating ourselves, the common denominator is that we are all sinners and therefore all welcome. And, of course,
yes.
that's exactly what Jesus says. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God.
Yes.
But not because of some, not because of who we are by nature, but of a general attitude toward the divine.
Yep.
So if the process is to be talking with people, first of all, I should probably ask about the process, if there is a national organization that makes recommendations as to how you proceed.
Oh, yes, there is. And one of the leaders of our task force, Baird Tipson, attended that all-day training, bless his heart, and came back with a lot of material on how to go about this. And the more you dig into it, which I'm not always so good in doing my research, but the more you do, the more you realize that the process is very nuanced, it's very complex, and it takes a long time. And that as you said earlier, the point is the process in a way, and the education and the dialogue that occurs between the people in the congregation. It's been very enlightening.
Have you a particular kind of process that you are going to adopt in your church? And we have listeners today who have already gone through this process, so it won't be new to them, but it may be different from congregation to congregation. But have you got some ideas about where you're going, what your goal will be?
And
how you're going to do it?
Well, interesting that you asked that today, because yesterday I was in a meeting, and the decision was made that on January 31st, the Council of St. James is getting together for a retreat. And in the morning, they are focusing on sort of education about this issue about LGBTQ people. And we're going to invite some speakers that really know about, know this stuff. Forwards and backwards. And then in the afternoon, they're going to be talking about a list of possible sort of trainings or educational activities that we can do in the church, readings and panel discussions and things. We've provided them with a list of suggestions of what we would think might be helpful, and then they're going to sort of put together a schedule of things that the church will have so that before this comes to any kind of vote, people can sort of learn more about what it is and learn more about this, why this is necessary and why we need to be overt in our invitation.
And express their reservations or their opposition if need be.
Absolutely. And continue the dialogue and the whole congregation.
What are the specific steps you're recommending? Or are they still pretty nebulous?
One is a panel where some students who at Gettysburg College who are who identify as lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender would come talk to the congregation about their experiences, their lives, and share maybe some of the pain they've gone through in with this, and also just what it means to identify as gay, lesbian, bisexual, or transgender. Pastor Mike is going to, we're going to read the same book as a congregation during Lent the book is about a family that, whose child comes out to them as homosexual and sort of what that family goes through and lead discussions on that book. And there's a, a man at Gettysburg College, Aaron Duran, who is the LGBTQ advocate and educator for the whole college. And Aaron's agreed to do some training too, sort of like LGBT 101 for people that just are unfamiliar with the terms or just anything about the community, and he is a treasure to the college community and the community at large. I can't say enough about him, and he will be a real resource for our church.
You happen to be very fortunate because you yourself are out of college,
yes,
and the resources in this particular community are at college.
Yes.
The general process, however, would still be the same in many other congregations of having panels and dialogues, especially where people can talk to one another.
Yes, absolutely.
And it may be that may be the most important goal of the whole process.
Yes.
When we begin to talk with one another.
Well, and you know, I wouldn't have said that in the beginning of the process, but yes, now I agree. That's a really important maybe the important, most important, and not splitting the church, but in fact it becoming more enriched by this experience.
Nicely said. We've been talking to Shirley Armstrong, who's a psychological counselor and peer education advisor, at least for the time being, because we can congratulate her on soon retiring from these positions at Gettysburg College. She's also a member of her congregation's task force on RIC, Reconciling in Christ. I'm Jerry Christensen, and for the Seminary Explorers, have a very, very good day.
You have been listening to The Seminary Explorers from historic Seminary Ridge in Gettysburg, Pennsylvania, a production of Gettysburg Seminary. We invite you to visit our website at www.ltsg.edu. Opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of Gettysburg Seminary or the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America.